evening, everyone. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I hope you had a good week last week. I'm doing all right. There's been all kinds of things going on in my life. And I'm so grateful for my blessings. We have Thanksgiving week coming up here. And now this feeling of gratitude is in the air. And I don't know about you, but next week's going to be a slow week at work. And I've got a kind of a sad and emotional time on Monday. My good work buddy, Mark Cravens, who served in the Army in the same job MOS that I did, passed away on October the 21st. We have a memorial service for him on Monday, so we'll go there. That'll be about 2 hours. And there it is. You know, each day is an opportunity for us. We never know when we're going to be called home. It could be because of an illness or an accident, whatever the reason. I think everything is almost written in stone. You know, when we're in the pre-existence, before we're born, and we existed before we were born, I guarantee you that is the truth. And we can't remember when we were born, can we? But we existed in the spirit form. Before we were born into this world, we went through what is known as the River of Oblivion, which is like a veil that we cross over when we are born into planets, from what I understand. Although this particular planet in the universe is a category 1 out of a scale of 1 to 9 planet, which means that it's the lowest on the scale of evolution. And what does that mean? It means that it is otherwise known as a planet of sorrows, where there's a lot of war and killing going on, and has been over the centuries and still is going on. Not a lot of love to go around, too many people making too many problems. And we are getting better. We're improving. Evolution is a very slow process. And the value of life is increasing. Before, the value of life wasn't so valuable. If you go back a couple thousand, 5,000 years ago, and now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time killing a fly nowadays. And when you think about it, when I think about it, a fly is a very incredible, although I try to kill them when they're in the kitchen. I don't actually go after them or swat them, but we put out these fly traps and they land in them, because in the backyard we've got dog poop everywhere, and so they land on the poop and they come in and they land on our food, and that's not cool. I'm sorry, but you know, I don't usually go after them. I just they can land on the fly traps, and I'm, you know, that's just it. They're bad luck if they fly in the house. That's the way it's going to be, because we don't want to pick up any of the bacteria that they bring in, you know. But I'm trying to make a point, and that is, these flies are very, if you ever study one, most people might say that they're very disgusting little insects, but actually they have beautiful eyes that work, created to see. They can see. They have wings to fly them anywhere they want to go. They have a mind of their own. They have a reproductive system. They've got a metabolism. They've got legs. They can move very quickly. It's amazing, really. And so I'm a little bit more hesitant than I used to be. I guess I'm trying to make that point. The value of life for me, even a fly, now I hesitate to kill any kind of little creature that is an amazing creation. I could not create a fly. I don't know about you. You know how to create a fly or an ant or maybe an apple seed? They are amazing creations that we take for granted. Why do we do that? Because, well, we are the children of the Creator. And if you don't have a relationship with the Creator of the universe, I suggest that you do. I do. The Creator of the universe is an amazing, awesome, incredible being, like an electrical being, a huge, kind of like an aurora borealis. If you come into contact, if you come face to face with the Creator of the universe, you will see a kind of like field of energy, the colors of the rainbow, but like an aurora borealis. And in the middle is this electrical kind of being that is both male and female that created everything. And I don't know how large it is. I mean, I'm sure it can probably change its size and shape at will. And like per the near-death experience of Donna Rebadow, R-E-B-A-D-O-W, and she's a very old soul, I can tell. I've seen her video over and over again on YouTube. She died in a boating accident. She drowned. She actually did have her lungs filled with water underneath the surface of the water. Come on, people. And she died. And her soul, spirit, left her body. And she went up into this kind of like outer space environment. She knew she was in eternity. She went through this veil. The veil I was talking about was kind of like a saran wrap veil. She popped through there. And she saw, looked down and saw her spirit. And she said it had all these different cells. And they looked like happy faces. And they were vibrating with a certain energy as if they were had a little life of their own. And that's what an electron is. Our spirits are made of billions of electrons. And then all of a sudden she said she felt something coming up behind the Earth. Because she saw, she was out there in space by planet Earth. And something coming up behind the Earth. And then the cells of her body apparently recognized instantly they were in the presence of this creator of the universe. And they said, he's coming, he's coming. And she was like, isn't that amazing? She was like having a conversation with her spirit, you know, the cells of her spirit. And she said, who's coming? And all of a sudden, she realized she was in the presence of the creator of the universe. And as I mentioned, it's kind of like the Aurora Borealis. That's the best way she described it. But if you watch that, there are several different videos. I'm going to take a drink. Several different videos where she's being interviewed by all these people once they heard that she had that incredible near-death experience. And every time she describes it, seems to get better. And I really do think she's an old soul. And that's probably why the creator chose her. It was like a designer kind of death. A very amazing story indeed, because she was out there in the Adirondacks in New York in the summertime, and her family had was going to take a couple of weeks off in a timeshare there in the mountains by a lake. And so during the day, they would fish and they would swim and they would water ski, but they also had something known as a lake toy. A lake toy is one of those rubber dinghies that is towed behind a speedboat. And you could have a lot of fun, you know. It's better than water if you don't want to water ski. I mean, it whips you all over the lake and you fall off and you're laughing and having a good time. You get back on, do it again, you know. You're going about 20, 30 miles an hour. It's a lot of fun. The boat that they had was one of these boats, apparently, based on what she said in her description, that it was impossible to sink. So that's case point number one, point of contention number one. When they were out there that one morning, and her brother-in-law was piloting the boat, and she had, there was the brother-in-law, his wife, and their baby on board, and Donna was with her sister on the lake toy. So point number one, the boat apparently started to sink. So the brother-in-law shouted to them, get off the lake toy. The boat is sinking. And so they knew that they had to get to the shore to make sure the baby was safe, you know. But the boat wasn't supposed to sink. It was geared in the inside so that it wouldn't take on any water and wouldn't sink. So that was the first thing. The second thing was she threw the tow rope to the side. And the tow rope, if you're familiar with tow ropes, are floating tow ropes. They're supposed to stay on the surface of the water. But when her sister threw the rope to the side, somehow it sunk down beneath the surface of the water and wrapped around her leg. So three things, actually two things there. First, it should have stayed on the surface of the water. It shouldn't have sunk. Second, it shouldn't have wrapped around her leg. And as soon as it did, she said, uh-oh, this is impossible. And she heard the boat's engine rev up, and she said, uh-oh, this is going to hurt. And sure enough, she was dragged away, and it hurt. A lot of pain came to her. And she was dragged underneath the surface of the water. Air was leaving her lungs, and she knew she was going to die. And when she started thinking about where they're going to have the funeral, at that time, her spirit popped out of her body. And as I mentioned, she found herself in kind of like an outer space environment, what she described as eternity. And then she met the creator of the universe. And when she said, they had a conversation telepathically, and it went something like this. After her spirit cells were recognizing the spirit of the creator of the universe, she said, oh my God, you are the creator of the universe. And she heard back telepathically, like it was just put into her head and unpacked. That's the way telepathy is, kind of. And she heard back immediately, I am the creator of the universe. And she said, oh my God, you know everything. And she heard back immediately, I know everything. And the creator said, I even know how many grains of sand are on the beach in New Zealand. And immediately she was rocketed down to the beach with her face up along the side of the beach, seeing all the grains of sand. And she knew how many grains of sand were on that beach. I can't imagine the number. That's a whole lot of zeros probably, you know. And then the creator told her, I even know how many hairs you have on your head. So then she was back up into the outer space realm and having that conversation, a continued conversation with the creator of the universe and how this works, how that works, and being shown around kind of. And all of a sudden, the creator said, when Donna realized that she was going to die, I mean, that she was not completely dead, let's put it that way. There was still a possibility of her returning, but she thought that was it. As soon as she thought that, then the creator said to her, so, Donna, what do you want to do now? Kind of like a friendly, cool, you know, atmosphere. The creator of the universe, in other words, is a really cool, friendly being that is probably the best friend you could ever have, the coolest friend who knows everything about you, knows about the universe that it created, and I say it, you know, say he and a she, male and female. And think about that for a second. You've got a being that's both male and female. That's why we have so many homosexual gay people, whom I love, don't get me wrong, transgender, because they're kind of both male and female. A gay person, the usual gay person is, from what I have observed in my lifetime, is someone who, and there are exceptions, someone who has the spirit, an opposite spirit in the body. In other words, a female spirit in a male body or a male spirit in a female body. And the same kind of with transgender. And so that embodies the kind of beingness, if you will, of the creator of the universe who is both male and female. That's why these spirits choose to come to Earth, because they want to let everyone know there's not only just a father God, there's a mother God too, you know. Come on. I mean, the Bible is a beautiful book. Don't get me wrong. It's a very holy book. But it's all about the people way back then, 2,000 years ago and plus, who wrote the Bible. Now, let me ask you, in the logical mind of your logical minds, do you really think that they're smarter back then? They were smarter then than we are now after over 2,000 years of evolution and on the technology that we've achieved up until now? Yes, they were inspired by God, but people are still being inspired by God. I'm inspired by God. There's a lot of people who have radio shows on BBS Radio who are inspired by God. Very brilliant, incredible people. Now, maybe we don't see the same kind of miracles going on, as we did back then, all the miracles that Jesus performed and Moses performed. Anyway, that's just a little side point there. So the Creator is having that conversation with Donna, and she says to him when he asks her, what do you want to do? Well, since you created me, I'll leave the choice up to you. And right away she realized she'd made a mistake because she gave away her choice. And afterwards they said, well, that was your choice. And she said, no, that wasn't my choice because I could have said something else. And so then she heard another voice. And she heard a voice previously, whether it was Jesus or an angel that said to her at the beginning when she had disappeared there in outer space in that realm, don't worry. And then she heard that same voice say that when you go back to Earth, tell everyone that your choices mean a lot. They matter a lot. So be wise with your choices because life is all about making the right choices. So then the next thing she knew, she was going back to her body, rocketing back to her body, going down, like down, down, down. And as she was going down, she heard this, and she was very amazed to hear it because that is kind of as a testament to the great sense of humor and love that the Creator of the universe has. She heard him, her say, good answer, as she was going down. Now, isn't that cool? So then she found herself back in her body, underneath water, maybe 10, 20 feet, I don't know. And she thought to herself, what has happened here? I am back in my body and I'm dead. I've got water in my lungs. And immediately she felt almost like human hands picking her up. That's the other point. Point number four, a designer death. These hands picked her up and brought her to the surface of the water. And when she got there, then she felt some hands slap her on the back to get all that water out of her lungs. She coughed and spit up all the water that she had inhaled, swallowed. And then there was another thing, too. Besides those hands lifting her up and slapping her on the back, but also she found out afterwards that her brother-in-law, while driving the boat back to the shore, felt a hand on the shoulder. He looked around. There wasn't anyone there, but he stopped the engine and looked back, and then he saw that he was dragging something. That's when he realized that somebody was underneath the water. And all the while, her sister was swimming back towards her like 100 miles an hour when she did surface. And then there was a concern of her having Giardia, which is like a bacteria in the lake, Giardia. And also her leg was kind of like strangled to the bone, but it didn't require amputation, although she has a scar that has been with her since then, you know, and the nerve endings in that area of her leg above the knee have been giving her problems over the years, you know, and she feels pain constantly, not constantly, but occasionally, I mean. So let me go back to the points of the designer death. Number one point, the boat shouldn't have sunk. Number two, a rope shouldn't have gone underneath the water. It was supposed to float. Number three, it shouldn't have wrapped around her leg unexpectedly. And then that's another thing. I forgot to mention that. But I'll get to it in a second. And then the next point is when the brother-in-law was driving the boat towards the shore, he felt that hand on his shoulder. That's the other point. And then the hands had lifted her up out of the water. Well, first of all, the rope untangled from her leg unexpectedly. So that's another point. And then the hands, so I got that wrong, the sequence. And so the rope untangles itself from her leg. The hands, the invisible hands lift her up above the surface of the water. Invisible hands slap her on the back to get her to spew that water out of her lungs. And she survived. Isn't that an amazing account of a designer death? I mean, it seemed like the Creator of the universe orchestrated that on purpose because she was an old soul. And second of all, the Creator wanted her to come back and tell everyone, your idea about, and it, this changed her mind because she was a pretty devout Catholic beforehand. This changed her mind a lot about who the creator of the universe is. The creator of the universe isn't like what the Bible describes. A Father God on a throne somewhere. Although there is, I mean, the Father God and the Mother God are co-creator gods of solar systems. That's different. But the creator of the universe who initiated the Big Bang, the formation of the universe, one solar system after a time and one galaxy after a time, and also commanded the four forces of the universe and the spirit children who would be born, we are all children of the creator of the universe in a way, kind of like grandchildren more. But that was why the creator created that designer death of Donna Rebido. Check it out on YouTube if you're interested in learning and establishing a better relationship with the creator of the universe. I mean, you can establish your relationship. I'm going to take a drink. With your mother and father God. But just like you really don't need Jesus, who is a co-creator God in his own making, who existed on a Category 9 planet before he died on the cross. It's a long story. I don't want to get sidetracked too much. But read the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, if you want to learn more about that in detail. So you can establish a relationship with the creator of the universe. Just go out there in your backyard tonight and look up at the different suns up there in the universal solar systems. Every single star or sun has planets that revolve around it. 9 is the number of the universe. Like we have in our solar system, a solar system may lose a planet or gain a planet, but ultimately reverts back to the number 9. Number 9? Remember that song by the Beatles? So the creator said, I think, and he chose Donna to do that. She had to go through that whole process so that, and when this is cool, it's all right, you know, to get the word out that people of the earth, come on, change your direction. You need to know something brand new. Hey, there is a creator of the universe. You don't really know the creator. You should establish a relationship because things go better with God. You know, everything in your life will go better if you have that relationship where you can talk all the time, ask a question, hear an answer back in your mind, whatever you need to have your back, to have you protected, to guide you, to give you wisdom when you need it, to help you not fear or worry. The Creator is there just waiting for you to reach out and establish a relationship. Now, doesn't that make sense? We as spirits in the material world should know who created this whole shebang. You know, I'm going to take a drink. And know, yes, there is a mother and a father God. Our mother and father God who art in heaven, hallowed be thy blessed and glorious name. All these different suns around the universe are really spirit worlds because the spirit that we have in our bodies is made of light energy. You have to understand that. It's made of billions of electrons. And when we pass away one day, whether it's today or tomorrow or 10 years or 50 years down the road, you're going to pop out of your body, your spirit will, and then be in the spirit realm without the 5 physical senses. And you do have some senses in your spirit that resembles the physical body very much. It has the same kind of characteristics, facial characteristics, and it's configuring too. So you can change your image back to, say, an age 30 mold. There's no such thing as glasses in heaven. You know, all your teeth are perfect. There's no bodily fluids you have to worry about. You don't have to worry about going to the bathroom anymore. So there you can see why there's a lot of joy and happiness in heaven. Everyone's got a smile on their face. There's no darkness there. There's no shadows. There's angels. You'll remember once you get back there, and I get back there. I'm saying this for myself as well as for you, that there'll be angels everywhere. You remember, oh my God, that an angel brought you here and pushed you into your mother's womb all those years ago, you know? It's a little tap. That's what they do. They know how to do it. They've been gifted with some special power from the creator of the universe and the mother and father God, who are co-creator gods. You are too. We are co-creator gods in the making. If you can die, and you know that potential to die is real, and if you have a brain and a heart, then you are a co-creator god in the making, my friends. That is the truth of the situation. Truth is a very elusive kind of word, and it is powerful. And I wish that we all knew the truth. We should all be seeking the truth. There is so much more that we can share with each other when we speak the truth. Now, some things are better left unsaid, but as far as the U.S. government is concerned and other governments around the world not telling us the truth about extraterrestrials and life out there in the universe, don't you think we need to know that there is life out there? It will make a big difference in our society, in our civilization, knowing that there truly is, without a doubt, life elsewhere in the universe. The fact is, my friends, that the universe is teeming with life. There are so many humanoid species out there with different colored skin and different eyes, shapes and sizes, different heights, and different hair, colored hair, different types of hair. And there's the grays, and there's types with blue skin and green skin and big dark eyes and slanted eyes and different ears that are pointed like Spock in Star Trek. So it was proven apparently at one time it originated at first back in the 1930s when they had the War of the Worlds on the radio, and people panicked because they thought there was an actual invasion. And so then they realized that you can't tell the public everything because they're going to panic and lose control. And that was only a small minority of people, in my opinion, my friends. You can handle the truth, because guess what? You could die. Don't you want to know the truth before you die? Now, I'm not going to tell you everything about me that I'm not proud of, that I've done. You know, tell you the truth. Some things are better left unsaid, because that's just the way it is, you know. I can tell you when I lied before, if that would satisfy you. But then again, you can't please everybody. You have to please yourself. And forgiveness, you're only going to find forgiveness from one person. And you know who that is? From yourself. Ultimately, you have to forgive yourself, especially when you have the life review. Forgive yourself. That's what you got to do. That's what I have to do. Now, I could blame some of the things that I did when I was young on my parents, because they shaped and molded me. I was under their influence, as well as the influence of alcohol for a while. And I did some things that I'm not proud of, but now I understand. I love and understand myself, and I forgive myself for having done those things. I went to a high school last Thursday, as part of a youth leadership program that I'm going through. And these students, there was nine. Each time there's about 9 or 10. I lead a Toastmasters class, which is about public speaking. And, you know, I'm trying to be the superstar. I've been doing Toastmasters public speaking for over 17 years. And these young people are very smart, you know. You can't really fool them. They are the younger generation. They were born into this world to help make a difference, you know, to lead us down that path of righteousness, to know who we are. And so when I've been talking in front of them, I try to show that I am gifted from what I've learned. Well, let me rephrase that. All the Toastmasters that I've done over the years helped me be a better public speaker. Help me be a better public speaker. I'm going to take a drink. And so I've got 5 more sessions. I've done 3 sessions already, 3 classes I've attended. I've got 1 more to do before Christmas and 4 in the springtime, and then I'll have my youth leadership program done, and then I'll be eligible to apply for my Distinguished Toastmaster Award, which is the ultimate award that the Toastmaster can get, which means that, hey, it's kind of like getting a PhD when you're in school, you know, going through all the classes. Not a high school diploma, not a college degree, not a master's degree, but like a PhD in Toastmasters. And then you're recognized in a different kind of light, so to speak, by the people you associate with, the clubs that you go to. When you're a Distinguished Toastmaster, they say, okay, he's done the training, he's done the years, he knows his stuff. But still, I get nervous sometimes. You know, I'm trying to be the best that I can be, always, you know. I think I am a superstar, and we all have that superstar within inside of us. But like I was saying, these young men and women, and they're like 17, 16 years old, and I can see in them the way I looked when I was their age. You know, I went through high school in Canada and also in Guadalajara, Mexico. I did my 11th and 12th grades there. I moved there with my parents. So don't forget that aspect, too. We're not truly free or on our own until, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but when my parents passed away in 1999, Dad died first and then Mom 10 days later, I realized that I was under their influence in a good way up until then. And all of a sudden, I was just like floating in limbo, and I missed them. They were both 81 years old, so it was their time. They lived good lives. But I realized that all my life, especially in my younger years, when I made some mistakes that I'm not proud of, that I was under their influence. I grew up in a secondhand smoke environment. My parents had PTSD in a very serious way. Dad went through Normandy and Dunkirk with the British Army. Mom went through the bombing of London. So anybody who's been through that, they become very bitter. When someone's trying to kill you, it changes your mind, you know. When people are throwing bullets at you and bombs and missiles, then it changes your mind. It just changes your personhood, you know. If you're a man, it makes you a different man. If you're a woman, it makes you a different woman. And so I saw that in them, growing up with them. But as I mentioned, our parents do shape and mold us. When we're babies and they're changing our diapers and they're feeding us, we become kind of like clones to them. But we are separate entities. We are separate from our parents. You have to understand that. And when we're born, even before we're born, while we're in our mother's womb, and that's why I said before in previous shows, and I'll say it again, I don't agree entirely with women and the reproductive rights. Let me rephrase that. I don't agree entirely with women and how they want their reproductive rights. And they say it's their body. Well, a baby is a separate body. It's a separate entity, a separate spirit and a soul. And we just had 2 Democrats in the recent years, women who were pro-choice, who were not elected as president. I think because America recognizes that pro-life is what God wants. And I don't want to take away women's fight for their own rights for equality, but that is different than the rights of a baby. And the right to live, a baby's right to live. So innocent babies forming in the womb of the mother, a beautiful, wonderfully and fearfully made creation with a heartbeat and a brain, and the body forms over the course of 9 months. The spirit and soul enters the body. And then later on, when we get older, you know, in our teenage years, we want to be on our own. We like to do things our own way. My point is we are separate beings, separate entities. people may not realize that. As I mentioned, I don't want to take away from women's fight for their equality, but that is a different subject. And I see recently that it has gotten intertangled with the rights of babies. And pro-life is exactly what it says. You're either pro-life or you're not. You can't confuse or muddy the waters by saying it is pro-choice, calling it pro-choice. It's not right, in my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. You can agree with me or not. But that is what the Creator wants. The Creator is pro-life. Let me go back to what I was saying about an ordinary housefly. How would you be, let me rephrase that. Would you kill a fly? Would you kill an insect? When you do kill a fly, how do you feel any remorse for killing a little creation of God, even though it has its part in the ecosystem? And the same with any other insect or reptile or bird or fish in the ocean and seas, rivers and lakes, or mammals. They're all wonderful creations. Yes, I said that I kill flies, and flies. I still do. But I don't like swatting them anymore. My value of life has increased, and yours should too, I think. And killing a baby means that you don't have a value for life. Now, I believe that the only chance of a woman becoming president in the United States is if she is pro-life. That's my opinion. I'm all for women's rights. Don't get me wrong. I think they've been mistreated. In some countries around the world, they're treated worse than animals, and that's wrong. The mothers of our children. But we need to do the right thing and do what God, the Creator, wants, and our mother and father God also. So that's what I believe, my friends. I know it's a very big point of contention, and that's what really separates the Democrats and the Republicans. And by the way, if you're a Democrat, I know you're feeling sad and you're feeling angry, but let me give some advice to you. First of all, I voted for Mr. Trump. I don't mind saying so. I like him. I've dreamt about him. I even dreamt about Kamala Harris. I like calling people by the way I want to call them, not the way they want me to call them. You know, I confuse her name sometimes, but I think Kamala Harris, I think she's a very beautiful woman. And I had a dream of her where she kissed me on the cheek. And then almost, it was like an inspection because I was in the Army 22 years. I still work for the Army, going on 43 years. And when I was in the infantry and for 4 years and admin specialist, clerk typist in the Army, I used to have to undergo inspections sometimes, and they would come by and inspect you and then move on to the next person. And that's what happened with her in my dream. She kissed me on the cheek, and then she went to the next person and came back, and I kissed her on the lips for like 2 or 3 seconds. It was a beautiful kiss. And I can't say for absolutely 100% certain that it was her, but my spirit felt like it really was her, and I really love her. But there's some things I disagree with, and with Mr. Trump, I've had 5 dreams of him, and he's almost like a brother in my dreams. And he is a good man. He has a beautiful family. Now, you can disagree with some of the things that he's done, and yes, he can. I think the most important thing, or the main thing that people disagree with him about, is the verbiage, the nasty rhetoric, if you will, that comes from him, calling people nut jobs or crazy or morons. But then again, there's a lot of hypocritical people out there pointing fingers at him when they are saying the same things about him. So it's kind of like retaliation. He fights fire with fire. And he's a good businessman, a successful businessman. And they're going to reshape the government. I might have to retire here within a couple of years. That's all right. It's just about the time for me to retire. Anyway, so my advice for the Democrats is find your superhero out there right now. Find someone to carry the torch for the Democrats, and maybe you can get a better understanding of abortion. And now, I think that, you know, we have to address each of these situations one by one. We don't want women to suffer unnecessarily and be bleeding out and die. You know, the life of the mother has priority over the life of the baby. I agree to that. Now, rape and incest, well, do they justify killing a baby? And you have to understand, too, a little bit more about how things are planned before we are born and the lives that we live and the missions that we are on to perform. Some of this has already been pre-planned, like in the Book of Life. You can, before you're born, you can look into that Book of Life and see, like for me, Blake Ruby, 70 years in the future, when I was a spirit in the pre-existence, I looked in the Book of Life and, hey, there's Blake in San Antonio, Texas. No matter what road I might have taken, left or to the right, no matter what thing I might have done, it ultimately led me to this place where I am right now, and that is mind-blowing, so to speak, you know, because there's something going on that is so intelligent that it's hard to describe. There's a power, there's an omniscient power going on here that we don't really know about too much. We only have an inkling, like the tip of the iceberg kind of thing. But in my opinion, the goal is for all of us to follow the missions that we were given prior to being born on this planet and follow them as closely as possible until when we reach our expiration date, which is probably the most appropriate way of putting it. I'm going to take another drink here. And by the way, I told you I voted for Mr. Trump because I thought the time was right for him to come back. And I think I agreed with the border. You know, the border situation was out of control, too many illegal. And the key word there is legal or illegal. The key word, legal or illegal. You're either legal or you're illegal. If you're illegal, then that's disrespectful to all the people who have gone through the correct process to become an immigrant or a citizen in this country, like I did, being a former Canadian citizen. I had to get my green card, and I eventually became a U.S. citizen. Is it fair to those people that go through the ordinary process and they have to take an exam to get your citizenship? No. And these people that they're letting in, they're not vetted properly, so they could be murderers, they could be rapists, they could be terrorists. They're not properly vetted, you know. Now, I know that America was founded on the migrants that came here. The Chinese helped build the railroads in the West, and the Irish came over from Ireland and helped settle New England and the East Coast. But ultimately, they did become citizens. And now, I mean, we're a country that needs to really have borders. You know, we're a country who's in debt. And we were giving away a lot of the benefits to these illegal immigrants, and we're planning to do so. And tell me if I'm right or wrong. One of the reasons might have been because the Democrats were letting them in because they wanted them to vote for them in the future, because they were allowed in and were given all these, allowed to work a job and get benefits, etc. And so the competition is bitter, right, between Democrats and Republicans. And let me just take a few seconds here to, you know, to realize, to acknowledge that it was a very bitter competition up until the majority of American people decided that Mr. Trump is going to be the next president and not Ms. Harris. Were you not aware of the competition that was going on? Were you not watching news and all the people that were talking and saying their points of view and their opinions on the matter? I watched it every day on CNN, the fighting, the competition going back and forth. That went on for months, a couple of years, right? They start preparing for the presidential election a couple of years out. And I'd just like to say, yay, We won. And now the challenge is for the Democrats to get back and find your superhero, like I mentioned, put this behind you, and let's keep that competition going. But I'm not going to take back what I said about abortion. You heard everything I said. I believe God, the creator of the universe, and our mother and father God, co-creators of our solar system, and you are a co-creator God in the making, are all pro-life. If you're not pro-life, then you're against life. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. There has to be a better understanding of who we are, that we are spirits in the material world. And when we're put into the wombs of our mother by an angel from heaven, where we came from the spirit world, we are a wonderfully and fearfully made creation with a heart and a brain and the body that's forming, all the bones are forming and the miles of blood vessels in our bodies, a separate soul and entity, different from our mother. We need our mother. We rely on our mother to feed us when we're born, change our diapers, teach us in the ways of survival and existing and going out and being somebody in this world, but we are still separate from them. That's why people, when they get a certain age, they don't want to be with their parents anymore, unless they need that help financially. But we want to do things our own way. Am I right? Don't you want to do things your own way? I could hardly wait, actually, to get out of my own. I moved out when I was about 21, actually. Well, I wasn't like I could hardly wait, but I'm going to take a drink. When the time was right, I did move out. I got my own apartment. I still love my parents, you know, and I stayed in communication with them, but I just wanted to do things my way. I didn't want them nagging at me about this and that, telling me, you know, that I wasn't, telling me I was wrong and that they were right to follow their wisdom. And I could see that we can see that our parents make mistakes too, you know. They're not infallible. They're not 100% right all the time. Another drink. I'm going to get another bottle of water here. Give me a few seconds, please. Okay, I'm back. Now, there's still a lot of things we don't know, and we're learning. Life is a learning process. And when I think about Mr. Trump winning, I am so happy, and I hope no one else tries to assassinate him, you know, over his term or anybody else, you know. Violence will get you sent to hell, and hell is the worst place you could ever imagine to be. It is the nightmare of all nightmares, and your soul's rehabilitation there will take a while, depending on your crime. It might not take too long. It all depends on what the nature of the offense was, if you know what I mean. But I pray for Mr. Trump all the time, and Mr. Vance, and Ms. Harris, and Mr. Biden, while they're still, you know, the acting president and vice president, and the members of Congress, because we want America to stay strong and proud, right? We want God to continue blessing America, right? And in order for the creator of the universe and our mother and father, God, to keep on blessing America, we've got to do the right thing. Think about our founding fathers. Do you think they would have been pro-life or pro-choice? I guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee it, but in my opinion, they were pro-life. They were very biblically based. They were very inspired by God. Although they didn't know the truth about everything, I'm learning. I'm 70 years old, and I've read so many books on the subject, and I learn new things all the time. I'm putting together my reality system one piece at a time, and I rely on YouTube a lot. I still go to church on Sundays, and I enjoy listening to the sermons. And it's like a history lesson, going back in time. I think about all the miracles that Jesus performed. And that, in my opinion, is more important than thinking that he died for our sins. As I mentioned before, we don't need an intermediary. You can find your own way to the Mother and Father God. I can show you the way. I can say to you, as you can say also, I am the truth, the light, and the way. I will show you also how to get to the Spirit Father and the Spirit Mother. You have that capacity, capability to say that as a co-creator God in the making of spirit and soul on a soul's journey, going through that process of reincarnation, living on one planet after another. You can say that. And Jesus, who I believe is in the spirit world right now in the throne room next to the Mother and Father God, and don't get the Mother God theory wrong, my friends. Don't be wrong when you get there and say, oh, I wish I'd known. And I always hoped that we weren't motherless children. I'm not talking about our earthly mothers, but if there's a Father God, there has to be a Mother God. Because our Father God, I know a male spirit wants that female companionship. And so Jesus is there. He has his own throne. Do you want your own throne next to Jesus there? It's available. I submit to you. You can have your own throne there. That's where the action is with all the angels flying around and the atmosphere and the activities, the redeemed, the disciples, the patriarchs of the Bible, all the great and wonderful people that lived throughout the history of the earth from different cultures. You can name them. There's a lot. And they have to be able to withstand the glory and brilliance of the Mother and Father God there, because we all shine with a different intensity of light depending on the level of your soul's evolution. So that's why it behooves each and every one of us to develop yourself spiritually and develop your soul, evolve as a soul. Tomorrow, it's like the song Dream On by Aerosmith. Sing with me, sing for the years, sing for the laughter, sing for the tears. Sing with me just for today. Maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take you away. And that's true. You know that, but it helps to be reminded constantly, doesn't it? I mean, that's just part of your growth and development, too. And I recognize that for myself as well, that we need to be constantly reminded of things because we're all in this together. We need each other. You know, how am I doing on time? Let me see. So let me say a prayer. I've got about a minute left, I think. I haven't heard yet. This, and you can say this prayer too. Don't forget to pray all the time. If you're brave and courageous and strong enough, I challenge you to be brave and courageous and strong enough. Pray to the creator of the universe and wait to hear back the response. The creator will respond to you, I think. So creator of the universe, thank you for all of our blessings. You are omniscient and omnipotent, and we want to praise you because you're so worthy. I mean, you made everything. You're worthy of praise and worship forever and ever, because I don't know how you did it. We don't know how you did it, creating something out of nothing. We get that feeling of nothingness sometimes, and we know how great. Words can't describe just how great you are. And in that energy field of the Aurora Borealis that Donna Rebideau used to describe you, there's a face in there. And there's a smile. There's an electrical kind of being that is you, that knows everything. You know how many grains of sand are on the beach in New Zealand and how many hairs are on our head. And that is awesome in and of itself. We want to be like you, right? But that's the way to be. So help us, please, in our growth and development. Thank you for everything. We love you. Thank you for loving each and every one of us. We are your children. Goodbye, everybody. I won't be here next week or the week after. I'm going on a cruise. Keep me in your prayers to keep me safe and well. Thank you. Bye-bye.